Okay, so we are starting our fifth sugya of the summer, right? Sugya of Pikuach, the Heter of Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos. So we already touched upon the nature of this Heter a little bit in other contexts. We discussed the Hutra Dechuya, you know, Chakira slash issue, you know, in last sugya. We're going to come from a different, you know, slightly different vantage point in this sugya. So as you can tell from reading the Gemaras, you know, the relevant Gemaras on Pei Dalet, Amud Beis, Pei Hei, Amud Beis, there are a lot of different, you know, issues within the sugya that have to be, you know, hit on and discussed. But I thought that, you know, logically and thematically, it made the most sense to start with the Makor. So, right, it's always a good place to start when you're trying to understand, you know, the nature of a particular din. It's always a good... A good place to start is trying to analyze the makor, because in many cases, right, the makor of a din will be the best way of finding out what the nature and scope of that din is. So again, although in the Gemara's presentation of it, that's the last issue to be discussed, I feel like it's probably most pertinent to do that first. So we're going to start with the last, you know, part of the sugya, which is the makoros, which is presented starting on Pei Hei Amud Aleph. So we're going to spend just a couple minutes just reading through the Gemara, hopefully a little quickly, just to get a sense of the different makoros, because it's going to be important. Anybody want to read for us? Cole, would you like to? Did you guys end up finishing it?
It depends what you mean by finishing.
Finishing to the Mishnah?
No, we didn't get that far, but we got almost that far.
You want to give it a shot?
Sure. Okay. Where do you want me to start from?
Starting from Ukfar Haya Rabbi Yishmael, the last skinny line on Pei Hei Amud Aleph.
Okay, Ufar Haya Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah, Melchim Bederech Belevi.
Melchim Bederech,
Melchim Bederech Belevi has Seder, Rabbi Yishmael, Beno, Shel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Melchim Achareyah.
So what's the Seder here? You have three. So
some gents walking along.
Okay, three Tanaim.
Yeah,
but gents doesn't mean Gentiles.
Yeah. Gentlemen. Three chashev, you know,
Tanayim,
you know, walking along. Exactly, and the Talmidim walking, you know, in the second, you know, what's the best, second stage? Right, you know, a couple steps behind.
Okay.
So, yeah, so what's going on? Exactly, second stage.
Michelle Shaila.
Huh?
Zo Bifnehem.
So the following question was presented.
What Nefesh Adokas HaShabbos.
Oh. So you expect this at the beginning of the sugya, but the Gemara decided to do this again, right? So what's the makor that the kuach nefesh, right, if someone's life is in danger, that, you know, saving that person's life, you know, is doche Shabbos.
Okay. Nene Rabbi Yishmael, the Amar. So Rabbi Yishmael answers, Yim b'machteret yimsa haganef u'mazeh shesafeg.
Right, so it was about Yim b'machteret yimsa haganef.
Right, so there's a, if you find a ganef in a tunnel,
So what's the
kavachomer is just as in the case of you finding a ganef in a tunnel, and some clause. As you are suffic on your money, you are also suffic.
I mean, no, even if it's a suffic, whether he's coming for pikuach nefesh. I mean, suffic whether it's
right?
Even whether you don't know whether he's coming just to steal or to kill.
Okay, anyway, this is suffic nefashos.
Yeah, and yet, suffic nefashos allows you to
Kill him, right? Mm-hmm. And there's shvichos tami was mentioned, but.
It's very chamor, right? And yet you're able to kill him.
Right, and the. I was going to say the pasuk is. Says Vamei Ein Lo Damim.
Yeah, it basically means it's, there's a heter to kill him.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's a maisa, but your pater, is that the idea? Does it count as shvichos damim?
No, the devil doesn't count as shvichos damim. It's because it's like pikuach nefesh being
so
doche. Well, let's say pikuach nefesh is doche the shvichos damim.
Okay.
Who to dechuya? We'll get into the nature
one
of
Rav Chaim, or opinion two. I forget which. How that works. Anyway. So, because shvichos damim, the spilling of blood, that is to say, the intruder's potential spilling of your blood, no?
I think even though you're in the, you know, the pikuach nefesh allows you to kill him, so if and Pikuach Nefesh allows us to perform Shvichos Damim, then Kavachomer, the Pikuach Nefesh, Doches HaShabbos. So Kavachomer, just like Pikuach Nefesh, is Doches Shvichos Damim.
Oh, is that? Oh, I thought that it was that the you save him from you save him from just as you so it's not that just as you save him from killing you by
that's an interesting. Yeah, if anyone learns, no,
this comes up in the exact.
So not for now. This is like a big issue in terms of Rodef, whether the you're saving the Rodef from the sin, whether you're selling the Nirdef from being killed.
Right.
But without getting into just here, simply, is in this context, it seems to mean that just like we, you know, Pikuach Nefesh is Docha Ritzicha, so too, Pikuach Nefesh could be Docha Shabbos.
I think that's the more felicitous reading. So.
Okay, sounds good.
Who says that Shvichos Dam is more common than Shabbos?
Well, that's what the Gemara is playing on.
Shabbos has a stronger punishment.
Okay, so we're not going to, I don't want to get too bogged down, but that's what the Gemara is suggesting at the moment, and the Gemara doesn't challenge that. Again, we point out in Peshurim that Onish, not always necessarily, you know, the strongest Raya, although,
yeah, we weren't so happy with
although in other contexts it is brought, it's, okay, we're just, I just, I don't want to get too bogged down, because we're going to have to make them.
Why do we need to call Homer? Meaning?
Oh, well, we're trying to look for Makoros. We're looking for different Makoros, and different, some of the Makoros are going to be called Homers. So basically, a bunch of them. I just want to go a little faster here. So first makor again, because there's seven of them. So first makor is kavachomer from Ritzicha,
right.
Just like pikuach nefesh docha Ritzicha, so too pikuach nefesh can be docha Shabbos. Again, some certain assumptions here, but we're gonna have to forge ahead. That's opinion right. Number one.
Va'amar ki yazid yishar ehu v'gomer me'im.
This is a little difficult, Dick. What is basically the point to say?
Basically saying that he quotes the pasuk: a man comes with intention on his fellow in order to kill him. You take him away from the.
From doing the avoda, but not if he's in the middle of the avoda.
Right.
So Gemara is not going to qualify that.
So this teaches us that you're to kill him.
And we only don't interrupt the avoda, meaning the only time we don't interrupt the avoda is only when he, the person who's going to do the avoda, has the capacity to have some information to put someone to death.
Don't interrupt.
Then you do interrupt. The point is, because the factor of Pikuach Nefesh, if he has the capacity, he has the information to save someone, namely as a factor of Pikuach Nefesh, then it's even going to be Docha Avoda. So here so far we have that Pikuach Nefesh is Docha Avoda. So you're saying,
Safik yesh mamish bedvarav, safik in mamish bedvarav, avoda Docha Shabbos, kavachomer le Pikuach Nefesh Docha Shabbos.
So what's the kavachomer?
So the kavachomer is that just as in the case of doubt, of doubting whether his words could save a life, and the fact that avoda is docha es Shabbos, so sort of a transitive kavachomer, pikuach nefesh is docha es Shabbos.
So if safek, in short, if safek pikuach nefesh is docha avoda,
and avoda is docha Shabbos, you know. Transitively. Yeah, that's actually more. That's not a kabbal comma. That's the transitive property. But anyway,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, chain rule. Then basically, something like pikuach nefesh.
Yeah.
Again, it's a form of a kabbal comma because it sets up a kabbal comma. But okay.
Yeah,
the other way is to formulate that. Fine. All right. First source is a kabbal comma from Ritzicha. Second source is a kabbal comma / chain rule from pikuach nefesh being docha avoda.
Okay. Never.
Quick.
So this was Rabbi Akiva talking.
Yes.
So what's the Gemara doing? Sticking an Amora in there? Amora of Yochanan. This is quoting what Rabbi Akiva was saying. So how is it qualifying it by quoting a statement of an Amora?
Good question. I guess I would assume that. I guess Rabbi Akiva didn't explicate that point, but I guess if we're trying to figure out, you know, backwards, how Rabbi Akiva's makor would cover safek pikuach nefesh, we're saying, you'd have to, you know, stick in this other member, which we know is true from Rabbi Yochanan. Could be that Rabbi Akiva had that in mind himself, but we know that to be true from the same as Rabbi Yochanan, so we attribute it to him. But assuming that Rabbi Akiva's makor was, you know, transferred, also cover safek pikuach nefesh, he'd also have that assumption. But in our minds, you know, in the Sora, the Gemara has, the earliest source that we explicitly attribute it to, is Rabbi Yochanan. But good question. Nene Rabbi Elazar.
Amar. Ma mila shehi echad mimatayim va'arba'im v'shmona evarim.
So right, if Mila is Doche Shabbos, and Mila is only for the sake of one Eber, and Pikuach Nefesh was for all Evarim, should be Doche Shabbos.
Can I ask a question about this?
Yeah.
Or do you want to wait? You
can ask it and I'll see if I'll answer.
Okay. So, I mean, I have a worry about this.
Is it directly relevant?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. What do you mean? What type
yeah,
of worry?
Yeah, no. Based on the so Rashi explains, Uma mila sheitikun echad meaverav shel adam doche esashavus lefi shechayavin alei karis blah blah blah. So my issue is that it appears that okay. So the Rashi's pshat appears to ascribe a lot of like motivational oomph to the chiyuv kares. That doesn't seem like such a good. I don't want to bog down in that.
Yeah.
Suffice to say that like there are lots of things that are in those kares for which you probably aren't docha Shabbos. But at any rate, it seems as though Rashi's saying that like so Rashi the first part the first whatever it is nine words of Rashi's pshat Rashi's commentary that seems like a really seems to me like a really good shot on the Gemara. My problem is
the second half seems to be a little.
I would say forget the second half. Yeah, I mean the second half I think causes lots of problems. But my worry about the first half is that the like Mila, it wasn't an accident that the Gemara chose Mila, right? I mean, that's like a ritually extremely that's an extremely significant ritual. Now to say it's like tikkun of a part of the body is not right in the same way that saying that, like, you know, applying a certain medicine to a finger is a tikkun of that part of the body. So my issue with that is that it seems to throw off the kal v'chomer, the method of kal v'chomer, that Mila, which is the kal in this case, has this sort of, like, independent and very important ritual status with, side note, a chiyuv of karis, if you neglect to fulfill it, whereas bikuach nefesh, there's no, like, that's not a thing unto itself in the way that, like, Mila, or if it is a thing unto itself, it's a thing unto itself that you might have much better derived as a kal v'chomer from saying that, like, a normal medical procedure on a finger is docha Shabbos.
We don't know that.
What I'm saying is that the kal v'chomer, the status of the kal v'chomer is thrown off by the fact that, so it is true that, like, you know, just as Mila deals with one part of the body,
exactly,
and pikuach nefesh has to do with the whole body, okay, that there seems like a straight kal v'chomer line,
yeah,
from A to B. The thing that you're doing to metaken that part of the body is not the sort of thing that you're doing to save the person in a case of bikuach nefesh. Now, one with your
no, that doesn't matter.
Why?
Because
you're
point,
violating Shabbos.
What?
You're yeah, violating Shabbos.
Yeah, the point is, you're violating the Shabbos for what goal? To be metaken one eiver, or to be metaken the entire body? The kavah
chomer. You're not doing it. You're not being metaken.
Yeah, because you're
is
yeah.
Vague. That's really
to
vague
save,
language.
What's at stake?
You're not saving the organ. You're redeeming it or whatever it is. Now you might say that's like a kal v'chomer.
Yeah, meaning at the end of the day, meaning the impact of Mila is smaller than the impact of pikuach nefesh.
Is that true, though? The punishment for Mila...
It's not to do with the punishment. It's just what is at stake, and what is the totzal, what's the result of these actions. And if we're going to allow for a heter of Shabbos, right, we're going to be docha Shabbos for the sake of, you know, one aver, so then kavah chomer, we should be docha Shabbos for the sake of the entire body.
All right, I get, okay, I'll drop this. The only thing I'll say at the end, is that it seems that for the sake of, in your wording, or the le before kol gufo, as in le kol gufo.
I think it's pretty Jewish.
What?
Yeah, le kol, for the sake of.
Right, okay, yeah, no, oh, yeah, yeah. I think it's doing a lot of work.
Okay. Anyway.
Right there.
Yeah.
Okay,
Baiter. Right. Okay. Right, so far we have a Kavach Omer from Pikuach Nefesh B'Yidoch Voda. Kavach Omer from Pikuach Nefesh. First, Kavach Omer from Pikuach Nefesh B'Yidoch Ritzicha. Second, Kavach Omer from Pikuach Nefesh B'Yidoch Voda. Third, from Pikuach Nefesh from Mila B'Yidoch Shabbos.
Alright, Rabbi Yossi Bar. Rabbi Yossi bar Rav Yehuda Omer es Shabtotai Tishmoru Yachol Lakol Tamlomar Ach Chedak.
So you think you'd always have to keep Shabbos? Ach is like an exception. It's coming as a qualifying factor to tell you no, there's an exception to it, namely, we identify that exception as the Koch Nefesh.
Rabbi Yonatan ben Yosef Omer. Kikodesh hi lachem, hi misara v'yadchem lo atem.
He as in Shabbos, right, is, you know,
he's a misara v'yadchem, lo atem misarim v'yadah.
Your lives, you, right. In terms of your lives being subject to it, fine.
Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya Omer, v'shemur v'yisrael es ha-Shabbos. Amra Torah chalal alav Shabbos achat, k'dei sheyishmor Shabbatot harbet.
Which can become very important. What does that mean?
So, literally it means... So the pasuk says, "Bisham Ruben Israel to Shabbat, and Bnei Israel will keep the Sabbath."
And at the end, Rashi at the end says, "Lasos as a Shabbos." To keep the Shabbos in order to do Shabbos, literally.
So
the point is, we're willing to desecrate
one Sabbath that you should be able to keep many Shabbos.
Yeah, so we're gonna get to that later, and it's a very charged in terms of the implications of that and what the nature of the Kuach, what the purpose and value of the Kuach Nefesh is, according to that Makor. But moving on for the moment.
I'm Rabbi Yehuda.
Amar
Shmuel. I have hatam.
And if I was there.
Havamina dide adifa midideihu. V'chai b'hem, lo shemos b'hem.
This is a very important drasha.
Lo shemos b'hem. So, if I had been there, I would have said...
The following, right?
That I would prefer you to say... Adifa, prefer.
You mean, Hava Amina, I would have said, Didi, mine, my pshat is better than theirs.
Oh, Didi, oh, Hava Amina, Didi, Adifa, Amidideihu.
So his drasha is the purpose of the mitzvah.
Live by them and not die by them.
Exactly. Fine. So, in short, I mean, we'll skip a little bit. This is the Gemara is about to ask the kasha that the chisaron in all of the chisaron in all of the drashos, with the exception of Shmuel, is that they only cover what type of case of pikuach nefesh? Did you get to this part? They only cover vada pikuach nefesh. Only cases where, you know, it's for sure, the person's life is for sure at risk. But you don't know about Safik. How does the Gemara know that Safik the Koch Nefesh is covered to begin with?
From Shmuel.
How Shmuel now? It's with the Mishnah. Alright, the Mishnah, if you go back to Pei Gimel Amud Aleph, right, the Mishnah, the Sefer of the Mishnah was explicit that even Safik the Koch Nefesh is covered. Alright, even Docha Shabbos for Safik the Koch Nefesh, and therefore the Makor for the Hetzer Pikuach Nefesh for Shabbos must cover the case of Safik. Pikuach Nefesh. Fine. So the Gemara then says, and that's the reason basically to favor Shmuel's, because Shmuel's drasha of B'chai B'hem, Rashi explains, really covers any time, even if it's only a suffix that your life is at stake, we still apply B'chai B'hem v'lo Shiyah B'hem. Fine. Okay? Excellent job. So basically, at the end of this Gemara, right, if you were to ask the very basic question, Lima Askana, what is the makor of the Hetzer Pikuach Nefesh, what would your answer be?
All of
If you weren't a contrarian. But if I had, right? Simple shot. You always have to have that guy there.
Wait, why that?
Because we didn't read it, but the Gemara ends up rejecting all the other drashos because they don't cover. I mean, maybe we should see inside just for those.
Ah, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically, he's in the next line. Amarava says Lakulu islu. Right, two wide lines down. It says Amarav. Lakulu islu pircha. Right. There's a question which neutralizes all of the first six makaros. Bar mi de Shmuel de lesli pircha. The only makor which is not neutralized is the makor of Shmuel. Then it goes on to explain, you know, why all the makaros.
What's the neutral? What's the bamba question that neutralizes them?
Well, we can go quickly. Basically, we'll go through quickly. I'll just read it. Rabbi Shmuel, right? The question against Rabbi Shmuel's drasha, which the source was the din of Bava Machteres, where we say, oh, look, if you know, if we're docha ritzicha for the purposes of pikuach nefesh, so then, right? The Gemara originally said, oh, look, if it's a safek whether he's coming, it's only a safek pikuach nefesh because you don't know whether he's coming to kill, or he's coming to steal, and yet we're willing to be docha, you know, and kill him docha ritzicha. The Gemara is going to say, but that assumes it's a suffix that you don't know what he's going to do. But that's what the Gemara says. Diray Shmuel, the first makor very Shmuel, it's pircha to follow. Because dilmak de Rava, maybe we hold like Rava, the Amar Rava. My time at the Machteres. Why do we kill the Bava Machteres? Because chazaka ain't other mamid asma al mamono. There's a chazaka that the Bava Vais is going to fight back. V'hai made the yad of the kaila ape, and therefore you know the. Right, the intruder knows that the Baal Bayis is going to stand his ground. But Amar Ikaila Apai Katonale. Therefore, the Baal Machteres has in mind if the Baal Bayis stands his ground, he's going to kill him. So basically, the only reason why we kill the Baal Machteres is because there's a chazaka that it's Vaadai Pikoach Nefesh. We know for sure that he's coming to kill. Therefore, we have a makor for Vade Bikoch Nefesh, because Vade Bikoch Nefesh is Docher Mitzicha. We don't know the case of Safek, and we need to know the case of Safek. And the Gemara says, the Rabbi Kiva Nami is actually important for the Tashbits. Really quickly, the Rabbi Kiva source from Avoda is also limited to Vade. Why? Because Dilma Kida Abai, the Amar Abai, because Abai limits, basically qualifies when we are Docha Avoda for the purposes of Bikoch Nefesh. It's Masrina Le Zuga Drabun Leida. Abai says the only time we will take the kohen away from his avoda if we first check out the kohen's words and we know for sure that he will end up, that his edus will end up saving the person. Therefore, again, the only time we know the radocha avoda, which through the chain rule gives us the makor of radocha Shabbos, is only in the case of vada pikuach nefesh. But again, eshkechan vada isafek minalan. The Gemara says, "V'kulu eshkechan v'adai." And again, if you go through all the drashas, all you know is that they cover the case of v'adai. But safek minalan, but you don't know the case of safek pikuach nefesh. Oh, do Shmuel leslei pircha? But there's no pircha on Shmuel because according to Shmuel, if you see Rashi claims the drasha of v'chaybem even covers the case of safek pikuach nefesh.
Can I ask you a question about v'chaybem?
In a couple of minutes, because this one first, I want to discuss v'chaybem, and we'll see if you still have a question afterwards.
Why is it that the other
psukim
don't cover?
Yeah, so that's Rashi. Rashi deals with that. Rashi deals with it. Why each drasha is really only a case of other. Okay, so in short, right, if you were to ask the question as I posed before, in terms of right, limaskana, just going to go a little quickly because we have to cover some ground. That limaskana, right? What is the makor for the heter pikuach nefesh and Shabbos? Right, the pashpshat would be v'chaybe. Right, the Gemara pashpshat said. All the other drashas are rejected because there's a kasha. It only covers vada bikoch nefesh. We need to have a makor which includes safek bikoch nefesh. The only makor which seems to work, l'maskana, is the makor of v'chaybem. So, in fact, that can be the first approach, the first group of rishonim. We're going to say, yes, the only makor, l'maskana, is the makor of v'chaybem. So let's first document these rishonim, and then we'll see what the implications of the lone makor of Hetu Bikoch Nefesh being V'chaybem. We're about to analyze the implications of the makor of V'chaybem, and then I'll take your question. Okay, so just first to document, you know, the Rishonim and Mefarshim who clearly hold that the makor of the Maskana is V'chaybem. Let's do that right now. So the first, starting with the earliest Rishonim we have, is the Rif. And if you turn to the Rif really quickly, when the Rif, Kedarko, is summarizing the Gemara, giving you bottom line what is the makor for the Hetu Bikoch Nefesh, in two lines, again, in Dapei Arif, Hey Amar Aleph, right before the second Mishnah that's quoted, two wide lines down. Oh, sorry. That's for the old guys.
What's this?
In terms of the Dapei Arif and the different versions of it. I don't know if you just read it. It's pretty simple. The Gemara, right? So Uminalan, starting with Uminalan, asks a very simple question. What is the makor for Hetabikuach Nefesh?
Uminalan to Bikuach Nefesh Dachi Shabbos. How do we know that Bikuach Nefesh is Dachi Shabbos? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Amar Kra, Asher Yaseh, Osam Ha'adam V'chai Bahem, V'chai Bahem V'loshem Uzayim.
And, right, so it's very clear in the Rif, the only makor that he quotes is the makor of V'chai Bahem. Again, not surprising, given the simple interpretation of the Gemara, that's the only makor which is left standing. The Muskan. So you have the Rif. Next makor is the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos Perek Beis Halacha Gimel. Again, Hilchos Shabbos Perek Beis Halacha Gimel. I'll just read it inside really quickly. Again, the Rambam, when he's citing the din of Heter Pikuach Nefesh, the only makor that he cites is the makor of the Chayda.
The Asur was the his Mahamea Bechol Shabbos the Cholish Yesh was Sakana Shenamar. Asher Yaseh Asam Hadam V'Chay Bahem V'Oshem Asbahem.
Right. So right, the makor that tells you that you shouldn't wait, right? When it comes Shabbos. To Chol HaShabbos, it's because this is V'Chay Bahem. In Hilchos Shabbos, Parak Beis, Halacha Gimel.
Halamana Tosh'ein Mishpatei HaTorah Nekama Ba'olam El Rachvim V'Chazer V'Shom Ba'olam.
Interesting, you know, hashkafic, you know, message coming out of this that you see from here that you know that the halachos of the Torah are the purpose of them is you know rachamim chesed and shalom. We'll leave it at that. For our purposes, very clear that the only makor for Heter Pikuach Nefesh is the makor of V'Chai Bahem. And again, if you look at the Rush, similarly, the Rush again in our Perek Ches, this is. Simon Tes Zayin, again, same type of idea as the Rif, when he says bottom line, when he summarizes in Gemara, what is the makor of Pikuach Nefesh? Again, the only makor that he quotes is V'chai Bahem. Read it quickly, it says, Minale Pikuach Nefesh Dachi Shabbos, how do we know? Amar Vira Mashmo, Amar Kra Shayasa, Osam Ha'odam V'chai Bahem, V'lo Shiyamas Bahem. Again, Rif, Rambam, and Rush, all clearly saying, and these Rishonim, that the lone single makor for Pikuach Nefesh is V'chai Bahem. So now, moving on to Achronim, where we start already seeing some nafkamina, which emanate from this question about what the makor is if you guys have the Mekoro sheets, that Rebbe Akiva Eiger. The Rebbe Akiva Eiger on Pehei on the base, which is a fascinating...
Who is that?
Rebbe Akiva Eiger, he's a well-known Achron, and I think...
Living or dead?
Dead. 18th century,
very
I think.
Century.
Unfortunately. Very, very prominent, you know, Achron. Yeah. So, if you see it inside, it's Kedai to read the. It's really more of like a tshuva. Inside, he's basically commenting on whether the fascinating situation, whether the heter pikuach nefesh will apply to a baby who you know is going to be is a tinok shenishba, who's going to be raised amongst goyim, and therefore, you know, the chances are that he will not be able to be mekayem mitzvos in the future. So, if the question is, this becomes a very good test case. About whether the purpose of Pikuach Nefesh is it to facilitate future, the kiyum of future mitzvos, Chalal Shabbos Achlus Beishishmar Shabbos Harbeh, in which case the suggestion is going to be, therefore, maybe the Pikuach Nefesh will not apply to a Tinok Shenishba, whom we assume, right, the majority, you know, the statistics dictate they will most likely not have any kiyum of mitzvos in the future. Or do you say, no, if the makor is v'chaim behem, therefore the future kiyum mitzvah doesn't play a role. It's all about, you know, saving a Jewish life. And therefore we even apply it to a tinok shenishba. Let's just read it inside, and then we'll take... Anyone have the Rebbe Akiva Eiger? Is it just the makor sheets?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go for it, Avi.
Should start from the beginning?
Yeah.
Mashach vodo masag lad masher tisi lomar dal tinok shenishba b'ne nochem d'mafalim shabos d'kivim d'braisa yolif b'vishamru esa shabos chalav shabos achas k'di shishmar shabos is harbe d'lo shav kem b'tinok shenishba d'mistama
so what right he's
like
yeah d'mistama yishtaka
right yishtaka b'ne nochem what is yishtaka he'll just stay there
yeah
v'af d'shmo yolif v'chai b'hem v'lo shiyamos b'hem v'stama lo polig b'ha
contact us. Basically, what's the suggestion of the Shohel? should the heter pikuach nefesh apply to tinuk shenishba?
No.
Why? Exactly, because he assumes the makor, and we'll get back to this in the second approach, because the makor is chalal Shabbos achas kadesh yishmar Shabbos harbe, the assumption is that shouldn't apply to a tinuk shenishba.
Are you saying that Shmuel isn't arguing on that makor?
Yes, we'll get back to that. Right now we're going to be focused on the answer of Kivegar, we'll get back to the Shalom. Because the obvious kasha is going to, how do you learn the maskana of the Gemara? So, right, which seems to reject Chalal Shabbos Achas, so you're going to have to come back to the line. But right, so the suggestion assumes, oh, since the Makor is Chalal Shabbos Achas, so therefore it shouldn't apply to Tinok Shenishba. So what does Rukhi Eger reply? The Levi, yeah.
Oh.
Next page.
My heart feels.
I disagree strongly with this.
Oh, okay. There is Harvey Tam Nemru Bigmar Vilcha Tana Yalfinum Kavachomer Umat Milashu Ba'Echamevara Vechule.
I mean, there are tons of Mekaros there.
Many different cars. Lefi Tam Zeh Lechar Gam Betinok Shenishba Vagoy Manichu
Lehimo.
What? Lehimo. Lehimo Alide Yisrael Mistamim Miloso Docha Shabbos. In Cain, who had been called Gufo Mecham Shabbos.
All right, this first point is going to end up rejecting this anyways. It fits with the Kavachomer. And once you go into the earlier Makaros, I'll give you an alternative earlier Makor of Mila. And let's say even the Tinok Shenishba, you know, since if he's allowed to get a Mila, you know, then that triggers that Makor. So, you know, not going to focus on that as much because he's about to say, Fagam Higufa Kasha, even, it doesn't matter because
right.
this whole notion of looking to earlier Makaros is problematic. Why? Exactly. Once the makor, the maskana, is the chayvam, then who cares about his, you know, the future capacity, you know, the future potential for, you know, kium, you know, the kium of Shabbos Harbe.
Then in Cain. Gam beikar tiva lahafios name of the nefesh kazeh mutter lahargo the in savin lahafios rach mishi kind
of mitzvah. So the one is reducted ad absurdum, right? He's saying, and if you're going to say, you know, the determining factor for all these dinim relating to saving someone is all about, you know, whether the person will, you know, will be mekayim mitzvos in the future, so then, you know, related to saving someone is that, you know, whether you can kill him. So you're going to say that you're allowed to kill someone who's not going to, you know, keep any Shabbosos or any mitzvahs in the future? Of course not. So, Levadai, again, you can argue on that, Raya, but...
There's a difference between not saving someone.
Yes, 100%. 100%.
He's making the point that if the value of human life is not intrinsic,
exactly,
but is only
value, you know, facilitated,
constituted by the number of mitzvahs fulfilled,
right,
why don't we just kill all the Russians? By the way, how does this relate to Ben Sora Mora?
Not for now.
But it is related.
I'm not sure what you mean, but
this is like a question about the. This question is whether the
his future,
the
future.
It posits like a determinate future, or like a reasonably,
okay,
you know,
yeah,
quasi determinate future.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also worth learning that there's a cost of it. This is a spot.
What?
It's also worth learning that like one.
Today she shmur shavos
is
harbe.
Wow.
That is coming. That is a drasha, by the way. It's important to note.
But
it's coming.
It's a murder, which is maybe against what we would normally
call. Okay. Fine.
Now this is question about Baha'i.
Not yet. Just, let's finish the... Oh, sorry, what?
Why would we think to kill him?
Oh, it's like we're talking about absurdity. It's basically saying that if... That's cool. Said it nicely. That if the only value, right, if we're talking about saving lives, and we're saying the only value to a Jewish life is his, you know, future capacity, future potential to mekayim mitzvos. So then, if you're willing to limit, you know, the fact of pikuach nefesh, but with that assumption that the value of human life is limited to the future potential of human mitzvos, so then same thing, be magdir, you know, qualified days for
ritzicha. What does magdir mean?
To define, literally, in this context, it would be to...
Magdir.
Like gedir, is definition.
Magdir.
Magdir.
Magdir, oh, magdir.
Sorry. The magdir, right, to qualify, you know, the scope of the Isra Tzicha also to only to, you know, Jews, you know, who have a, you know, potential for kumi mitzvahs in the future. So elavadai. So it's all about Jewish life. Hachanami. Exactly. So basically, I find it very difficult.
Nero,
Yair, one of those, you know. Either way. So basically, in short, so getting back to our point, so we're becoming on the earlier Rishonim, by only citing V'chaibem, significant, right? They're quoting the Gemara and say, oh, the lone Makor is V'chaibem. What's significant about this Rikvei Eger is that he's clearly adopting that approach, that the lone makor is v'chayvim, and then he's plugging it in to a certain nafkamina and saying, yeah, because... What? Yeah, but yeah, taking the opposite approach, yeah, 100%. And basically Rikvei Eger and the Shoal are basically pointing out that the hint, you know, to the future here, we'll get to in just a quick couple moments, that the makor that you think, right, ends up being the true makor for Pikuach Nefesh will have serious implications, serious nafkamina, such as this type of case of Tinuk Shenishma. But in short, alongside the Rif, Rambam, and Rush, you have Rikvei Eger, who holds clearly that the lo makor is v'chaibhem, and therefore the gedder of Pikuach Nefesh is based on a Jewish life, which we'll get back to in just a moment. I'm going to hold off until the end of the section. So you also have Rikvei Eger on this team. Along this first approach.
Is the show learning Kaddish Yishun Shabbat Sabe in Bahaibah?
We'll get that. We'll get there. There are different ways to understand the Gemara. We'll get there. Hold on. The fifth Mefarish who accepts this approach that the Lone Makor Lemaskana is Bahaibah is the, I don't think I signed this, but is the Minchas Chinuch. Our Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Lamed Beis. Again, the Mitzvah Lamed Beis is where he discusses the Lamed Tes Malachos. But after his discussion of all the Lamed Tes Malachos, he has a section on Pikuach Nefesh. So within that Pikuach Nefesh section, Os Gimel, Dibro Maschol V'hine Mechaolin, he also develops this idea that Limaskana, the lone makor for Pikuach Nefesh, is the factor of V'chaibem, and therefore he has Sir Nafkamina in regards to the issue of Chayesha, which we'll get to either later tonight or the next year. Hold up. But again, just important to note that Minchas Chinuch explicitly states that the lone makor, the maskana, is v'chaibahem. And the last, Mefarish, who explicitly states that the lone makor is v'chaibahem, is the Bir Lacha, right? It is the Mishnah Brura, in his commentary, the Bir Lacha on the side. This is in Shin, Chav, Tes, Sif, Dalet. So this is the Bir Lacha there. And again, when the Bir Lacha is discussing the issue of Chayesha, which we'll get to, you know, in a couple moments, the Gemara on Pehei says that we will even be Doche Shabbos, we'll even be Mechal Shabbos in order to extend the person's life for, you know, a moment of time, Chayesha, not a permanent saving of his life, but even for, you know, a short amount of time, even for a temporary, you know, saving of his life, that will also do. And the big question is going to be what the implications of that extension to Koach Nefesh are. But suffice it to say, the simple interpretation is that, let's say you're going to save his life, so you're going to extend his life for 5 minutes. So a Pashtus, you know, he's not going to be able to kind of mitzvah in those 5 minutes, but pashtus. So the way the Bir Lacha says, the clear implication of that extension, of that application of the head to Pikuach Nefesh, even to Chayesha, even to get to 5 minutes, it must be that the human life itself is valuable. And there, and the Chiddush being that even a temporary amount of time, even 5 minutes of a human life, is worth saving. And this, just hold on for a second, and this is the Bir Lacha's, you know, Lashon. He says, Ta'afal gav delo shayach hacha Hatam, right? Even though, in regards to this application of Chayesha, right, the reason of Chalal Shabbos Achas Kadesh Yishmer Shabbos is Harbe, right, that factor doesn't apply. Because in the Chayesha, in that, you know, that momentary, temporary amount of time, we can't necessarily assume that there'll be a Kiyum of Shabbos or any other mitzvah.
Why doesn't this Shabbos count?
Huh?
Why doesn't this Shabbos count?
Yeah, so this is, we're going to get to this. This is a situation where the difference is between saving. Let's say, extending his life to last from like Sunday noon to Sunday, you know, 12:30. A good question. We'll get to the details later. Amnam, however, be'emes nira, techolze hu l'tayma ba'alma. This factor of chalal Shabbos achas is a tam ba'alma. It doesn't really matter. V'ladina limaskana, indin, lo taloi klal bim mitzvos. The factor of pikuach nefesh, this is an important lashon, is not about facilitating a future kiyum of mitzvos. The ina tam de dachina mitzvah achas b'shvil harbe mitzvos. The reason why we're doche one mitzvah is not to facilitate the future kiyum of other mitzvos. Ela dachinan kol mitzvos b'shvil chayim shal Yisrael. It's all about v'chayim bem rakid yalef l'shmuel mi v'chayim bem. Because the lone makor is v'chayim bem. So again, the Bir Halacha explicitly stating that the lone makor l'maskana is the factor of v'chayim bem. So here you have slew of Mefarshim, Riff, Rambam, Rush, Rishu Eger, Menachos Chinuch, and Bir Halacha, all taking the Gemara Kapashas, that the makor, that the sole makor for Pikuach Nefesh is the heter of Pikuach Nefesh, is the factor of v'chayim bem. So before moving on to the second approach, just to note that according to this normative approach, that the makor for pikuach nefesh is the factor of b'chayim bem, it would seem, as we already saw in some of these mefarshim, that the nature of pikuach nefesh, the reason why, or the value behind the hetzer pikuach nefesh, the reason why we are doche Shabbos for pikuach nefesh, is for the value of called Kedushas Chaim, for the value of Jewish life. And V'chayim Bem, which is all focused on Jewish life, it's that value which overrides the value of Shabbos. Very important. We're now just cite a number of Mefarshim which highlight this idea that if the Pshat, or if the Heter Pikuach Nefesh is all based on V'chayim Bem, so then the value, right, at the core, right, the basis of the Heter Pikuach Nefesh is the value of human life, or Jewish life, which, and that value of Jewish life is doche, outweighs the value of keeping Shabbos. We're going to see, in contrast to the fact, to the Svara of Kadesh Yishim or Shabbos Harbe, which has a different value at play. So just before we take any questions, I just want to just, again, document this idea that within V'chayim Bem, the value of V'chayim Bem is all about the Jewish life. So the first makor which has this is unlikely place, but is Rashi Pei Beis Amud Beis in our sugya, in our Masechta. So this is coming back to the Svara of Maichasis, right? Back to the sugya of Yehari Vayavur, right? Where the reason for Yehari Vayavur, the application of Yehari Vayavur to the Isser, to the Avera of Ritzicha, and why you have to be killed before killing someone else, as Gemara says, because my chazis to dama didach sumak tefei. How do you know that your blood is literally redder than your friend's blood? So it's fascinating that in commenting on that line, we're going to see both Rashi and we'll see Yad Ramah in just a second, both reveal what the nature, what's the value behind the hetzer pikuach nefesh, and what the pshat is in behind the chayim bem. So, Aaron, would you mind reading Rashi, Dibur Maskel my chazis, and Pei Beis on the base? Why would you think that you should save your life? What's your havmina? Because v'chayim bem, we always favor your own life over doing all that. But what's the problem here? Is a key line. Tam of v'chayim bem.
Yeah, lafisha chaviva nashan shall Yisrael if ne'amakam yoser min ha-mitzvos.
Oh, translate.
Because the souls of the Jews is chavid,
more
value, desire.
Yeah, I should.
The more precious,
is better the beloved, more Hashem, precious than mitzvahs. Okay. All right, so it's very clear. It's a key line here. All right, so the way Rashi defines v'chayim bem, again, is in line with this analysis, that v'chayim bem, the reason why we're doche other mitzvahs for the purpose of v'chayim bem, because v'chayim bem dictates that the nefesh al Yisrael, that Jewish life, the value of Jewish life outweighs the value of our mitzvahs. And the Rashi is going to end up saying, but that doesn't apply here because, here it's not just human Jewish life versus a mitzvah, it's Jewish life versus Jewish life, and you don't know which one's more valuable. But, again, key Rashi here, that the value behind V'chayim Bem is this idea of nefesh shel Yisrael. Oh. Another Rishon, who again, in the same context, highlights this idea very strongly, is the Yad Ramah in Sanhedrin. Again, this is, I believe, the second source that I printed out for you guys. If you can turn to the Makoro sheets, again, it's like wonderful formulations there. You'll see the Yad Ramah is two deos here, two explanations of the Svara, and you see that these two explanations of the Svara align with the two approaches that we're going to be dealing with. So if you see the Yad Ramah, the first Right, the first daya, the first opinion in the Yad Ramah is exactly this idea that the factor of a chaybam is all about Jewish life. Anybody have it? Would like to? Yitzi, do you have it? Yad Ramah. So right at the beginning, Vibaylan.
Vibaylan Rotech Bukeminoan Yehargel Yavur. My dream in Sfarim. So Nidu Mitzvos Udachos Yisal Piko Achnefesh Mishum Yechsev B'chaybahem. Alum Mipnei Chibul Nafshan Shal Yisrael.
Right. So already it's pretty clear the reason of B'chaybahem, the reason why we generally are docha, you know, Shar Averos, the purposes. So saving your life is because, you know, the endearment of, you know, Jewish life, you know, in the eyes of God. Aval hacha, yeah.
Aval hacha, gabe rotzeach, zibain hachi, zibain hachi, ika ibu neshama, lo nidna mitzvos, hamako midachos.
Midachos, right. But here, where, you know, it's not Jewish life versus Avera, it's Jewish life versus Jewish life, so then, you know, there's nothing we can do. Now there's a key line. In Tomar,
and you Ra'wei Laharich Yam Yeter Nizeh, the Kamakayim B, the Chaybahan, say.
Oh. Right. So what's the Havmin? What's the Havmin to theoretically justify, you know, saving one life and killing another life? And why would there be more of a Chaybahan, to use his Lashon, for one person? How does he describe it? Meaning more life. Again, you'll see this is going to be a stark contrast to the second opinion, which is going to be focused on more key mitzvahs. But this approach, the value of chaybam, right, the makor for pikuach nefesh, all the chaybam, therefore the value at play is Jewish life. And therefore the only tzad, the only reason, the only havamina to favor one life over another life is if you could somehow know that one life, or no, one, you know, one of the lives is going to be longer. Therefore you have more Jewish life. But yet, why does that not apply?
Because like more minutes.
Yeah.
As it seems like, if the value is Jewish life, so you're saying theoretically.
Yeah, that's quite a shot on the word life.
Yeah.
Right.
Longevity of life. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But the reason why we reject that because the ma'achaz is.
Oh, good. Okay.
This is technical though.
Yeah.
Meaning what? I mean, what is redder? In his worldview, mean? Oh, very fascinating. Because within his worldview, value is associated with, like, you know, longevity of Jewish life. So when the Gemara says, yeah, who knows that your blood is redder? Redder in this context means who knows that you're going to live longer? So again, a clear highlight, according to this first day of the Yad Ramah, that the value of the Chaybam is all about Jewish life. And his take on that is, and thereby, again, which is an assumption, Cole's rolling his eyes out, but assumption, a further assumption, is that a way to determine, you know, the value of, you know, of Jewish life is length.
I have a thought experiment.
Before we get there, you might not have time for that, but...
It's very short.
I don't trust you. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Kadei Shetomar. Right, exactly. Right, this fact of Chaybahem Tvei, more Chaybahem is longer life. Because Dilma, how do you know? Dilma, Dama de Chavercha, Sumak Tvei, redder, meaning he's healthier. Vuhu Rai, right, Lichios, Laharach Yamim Yeser Mimecha, Meich, Venafsho, Yikara Be'inei Makam Yeser Mechayach. Fine. Right, so it's very clear, again, I think that's like a great highlight, this idea that the value of the Chaybahem is all about Jewish life. And therefore, again, this is in a Mechudosh fashion, the Yad Ramah therefore says that, you know, the pull back and forth of, you know, in terms of, you know, Sumak Tfei, in terms of the blood being redder, is all about, you know, living longer because you have more of that value. Just two more, and then we'll take some questions. All right, two more, again, we're just listing, just to summarize what we do. First, we brought, you know, the Rishonim, who identified Chaybahem as the lone makor, and now we're identifying certain Rishonim, who basically say that the value attached to Chaybahem is all about Jewish life. So first you had the Rashi, then you had the Yad Ramah, the first day in the Yad Ramah, where you're both identifying the value associated with the Chaybahem is the value of Jewish life. And then similarly, writing a portion that we've seen, who explicate this idea, is number one, third one is Rukiv Eger, right? So Rukiv Eger earlier, right, in the case of Tinoch Shenishpa, basically said that because the lone makor lemaskana is v'chaybam, he therefore says it's not about, you know, mitzvos. His lashon is elavanai da amrinan, da haTorah chasa al nefesh mizeri Yisrael. Is that God cares? But the value at stake is the nefesh Yisrael. Achanami nema, da hutar chilul Shabbos. Therefore, in the case of Ham Tinok Shenishpa, even though there's no potential, seemingly no potential for kiyum mitzvos, it doesn't matter. You're still the hutar chilul Shabbos. You're still going to be mechal Shabbos in this case. Kedei harlahachios nefesh mizeri Yisrael. So again, Rekuy Eger, right after saying that the makor is b'chayim bam, formulates the value associated with b'chayim bam as being b'mekayim and nefesh Yisrael. And similarly, the Bir Halacha, who again we pointed out was the one who accepted b'chayim bam, also has this formulation. This is el adachinam kol hamitzos b'shvil chayim shal Yisrael. That once you accept the makor b'chayim bam, it's clear that the value at stake is the value of Jewish life, which as a value overrides, right, the value of the Shar of Eros. I'll take questions quickly.
So, according to the Adramaz Pshat, that it's that the only reason why the person is not allowed to kill somebody else to save himself is because he just doesn't know that necessarily that he's going to live longer than the other guy. I assume that a lot of people are wondering, well, what if, you know, the other guy is on his deathbed or something? The other guy, he has a very strong reason to believe that he's going to live longer than the other guy, or...
So, again...
The other one's not a death, but it's a trade-off. Are you allowed to kill a trade-off to save yourself?
I don't know if you're allowed to kill, but I wonder if that would have an impact, even no matter what you say about that question. Exactly, because, you know, I don't know if you'd have, like, a b'chai behem by a trade-off, or a go-sais. But, and absent from go-sais and trade-off, which might be in a chanami, then it could be that whoever is not in those whole categories, you'll have the svar of me. Yes.
Do you know how you view someone who is like the true point of like running Mantos and Irmekwat and Sifu Shogeg? Would the same issue of someone who's Chai Misa apply here?
Spell that out, Lord.
If you learn that, really, that's the. The din of like going to your mikvah is that a guy's chayav misa, which have a different method of a chayav misa, but that we have a different method of carrying that out or making that happen. The next time you do learn, then would you make the same argument like that you just said about the treifa?
You said like a factor of gavra katila. Yeah. So the factor of gavra katila slash gosesh slash treifa, all these again. I'm not going to get into that now, but I would suspect that they would play a role. I think no matter what.
I think if they do with this, with that case also coming, because it's not explicitly a suffix, but sort of a different.
Yeah, different status. Again, meaning the status of his life, meaning his life is a different status.
I'm saying the Irmekwa one is sort of different flavor.
That's a question of whether it's Gavra Katila. I mean, right. Someone who's Chayav Misa could have status of Gavra Katila, which also might impact the status of his life. So in a Konami, those halachic statuses will likely, I don't know for sure, but will likely play a role. But again, I don't think that's limited to this. That could be, you know, no matter what approach you take, you know, that's a different, you know, his life is different status.
Okay, so extremely briefly, the whole business about the longevity leads to the absurd conclusion that you would rather have one person live for 1,000 years than 10 people live for 90 years.
Oh, that's not the issue at hand. I mean, that's its own sugya, but that's not what he was talking about. In the case at hand, it was 1 versus 1.
Then, though, we have a... wait a minute.
Rishonim discussed. We're not going to get into it now.
Right, fine. Okay, fine.
About how do you apply? It's a very good question. And how do you apply the svara or my chazes to those other issues? Let's say, you know, different amount of people, right. and how to ascertain that?
My question.
Yeah, exactly. Those types of issues.
I did have a question on v'chai behem, which my difficulty with it is that. V'chai behem is an imperative addressed to someone who is faced with a decision where he can either violate a commandment or die. Right? That's the alternative, right? V'chai behem, right. But in this case, the person violating the commandment is different from the person whose life is at risk.
Mm-hmm.
It's not immediately obvious to me that there's a clean translation of that principle.
Yeah, that's a good question. It seems to be, again, you're right, that the Gemara assumes, you'll see this, you saw that clearly.
You loosen it, I guess.
Yes, yeah, so I guess it seems like v'chai b'hem, you're right, and although it could have been interpreted as like, you know, talking to a certain person.
Life
saying,
better than death.
They're, yeah, so it seems to be like, you know, I guess, especially like what we're saying, what these are shown him, it's basically establishing that the value system, that the value of human life outweighs the value of an Avera. And what's that? Once that's the case, you sort of, you know, extricate it from, like, talking to you,
right,
and just more, you know, create this value system, and basically where we end up establishing that in the Torah's value system, the value of human life outweighs the value of an Avera, and therefore that would apply to other people
so
as well.
Behind, in other words, what's behind the Chai Behem spoken is a value.
Exactly, but that's a good question.
Rather than a,
like, it's not a particular tzivor, no, command to that person.
Yeah, all right, that's weird, but all right, it's not, that's, it doesn't mean it's not, it doesn't mean it's wrong.
Yeah. If someone were to kill the guy who he's supposed to kill, wouldn't that be Lafreya showing that he's going to live longer?
Wait.
I think the premise of the question was that Hashem will never allow somebody to die unless it is his time.
No, no, that's not my question at all. My question is...
That would prove it.
The question is, who says he's going to live longer than his friend? Well, I'll prove it. Boom.
No, because the... No, because the whole... The Shvara...
Wait, that's... So you
no,
could, like,
second,
create
second,
a problem
second, second,
by
second.
Acting.
No.
That's so, cheating.
Yeah, because the point... Couldn't have said it better myself. The point is that Mike Chazes is trying to determine what is the, right, the halachic, you know, what is the proper halachic action? Course of action.
We're saying the Mafreya.
No, because the point is that since, you know, at this point when the question is posed to me, right, you don't know whose life is more valuable. Leave it at that, and the question is left out. Just according to any approach, if you kill him, you can't, you know, kind of zero. So according to any approach you take, the point is that since at the time that you're faced with this quandary, you know, you basically have two v'chai behems out there. So that basically dictates that you can't take a stand. Okay, I ain't our earlier sherm in terms of what exactly the nature of the svar is in my chazus. It stands still, whatever. So what ends up happening is, you know, irrelevant to the fact of you do b'chai b'hems, and therefore what the Torah is now mechayev you to do or not to do is, you know, stay put and not take an action. But I could at least start the second approach. But Adikon, whereas the first approach, the normative approach, that the lone Koveya for Heter Bikolach Nefesh is V'chai Behem, which we just identified the value being associated with, is the value of human life. So you're going to see that despite this simple interpretation of the Sugya, there are going to be a number of Mefarshim and Rishonim who basically rehabilitate their earlier, certain earlier Makaros in the Gemara, and say that even the Maskana, these earlier Makaros will shed light on the nature and or scope of the Heter Pikuach Nefesh. And we're going to have to deal with each one in terms of how they can learn the Gemara. The Gemara seems to neutralize the early Makaros. We're going to have to deal with that, you know, for each one. But let's just see a number of these Mefarshim again who rehabilitate some of the earlier Makaros and say that even the Maskana, those earlier Makaros play a role in defining the Heter Pikuach Nefesh. So the first, you know, the first Makaros which are rehabilitated are, and this is the Shitas Yachid of the Tshuvas Tashbit, which I had you guys see. So he rehabilitates the early Makoros, the Kavachomers, from Avoda and Mila. Again, I think we read this in the past, but in short, since the time is of the essence here, basically Tshuvas Tashbit basically says that given the Makoros of, or the two Kavachomers from the Heter Avoda Bishabis and the Heter Mila Bishabis, so since he establishes the nature of those heterim b'shavas, right, the nature of the heter of avodah b'shavas and the heter of milah b'shavas, since those are b'toras hutra, and connects to our earlier discussions, so since those are b'toras hutra, we can derive from that that the heter b'kuach nefesh on Shabbos is also b'toras hutra. So again, the Tashbet is basically rehabilitating those earlier makaros in the sukkah to say that they can shed light on the nature of the Heter Pikuach Nefesh, even the Maskana. And the obvious question is, what do you mean? These Makoros were rejected. So he deals with them, as follows. This is where we have a little discussion. It's a little complicated. But in short, the Tashbeit implicitly asks on himself, how am I bringing Makoros? How am I bringing these earlier Makoros which are rejected? You know, how am I bringing those rejected Makoros, even Lamaskana? So he basically establishes that those Makoros, the rejection was just to say that those Makoros can't teach us the full scope of the day. Right? You can't know from those Makoros alone that the Hetzer Pikuach Nefesh even applies to cases of Sotei Pikuach Nefesh. But they still tell us the case of Vadei Pikuach Nefesh. Says the Tashbeit. But once, Limaskana, we know from V'chai Behem that the Hetzer Pikuach Nefesh is such a chomer factor that it even applies Misafik, are not only Vadei Pikuach Nefesh, but even Sotei Pikuach Nefesh. So then that goes back to those Kavachomers, and now you may even have a stronger Kavachomer. Let's say by Avoda. If we originally established the Kavachomer, that, oh, if Avoda is Doche Shabbos, B'Torah Sutra, so then, of course, Pikuach Nefesh will be Doche Shabbos, B'Torah Sutra. Right? Kavachomer assuming that Pikuach Nefesh is a more Chomer factor than Avoda. So then, once we know that even Sopik Pikuach Nefesh is Doche Shabbos, while only Vadai Avoda is Doche Shabbos, and that's another reason to have a Kavachomer. Because that's another indication that the value, that the factor of Bikuach Nefesh being Doche Shabbos is stronger, is more chamor than the factor of Avoda being Doche Shabbos. Because Avoda is only Vadai Avoda is Doche Shabbos, and even Safei Bikuach Nefesh is Doche Shabbos. So then, for sure, Lamaskana, you can still derive the nature of Hutra from Avoda over to Pikuach Nefesh, because if you were able to, you know, extend that in the Havamina, when we thought that when we thought that Pikuach Nefesh was limited to Vadai, then of Kavachomer, you can now extend it if you think that Pikuach Nefesh even applies Besafik.
Do you over that again?
Yeah. It's a little complicated. Basically, in short, Tashbeit says that the original Kavachomer from Avoda and Mila still stands. The only thing that we couldn't derive from it was Suffolk.
Okay.
But he says, once you derive from V'chai Behem that Pikuach Nefesh even applies to cases of Suffolk.
So then you would work it backwards.
You can work it backwards.
Okay.
Because now that we know that Pikuach Nefesh not only applies to Vadai cases, but even applies to Suffolk, so that just ups the ante in terms of the value
works it
of the
backwards
Pikuach
and makes the Kavachomer stronger.
Exactly, makes the Kavachomer stronger. You know, if Avoda is Hutra, for sure Pikuach Nefesh, which is even Besafik,
would be
Hutra. Yes. So, I don't want to get too hung up on the Tashbeits, but it's important as in short, Tashbeits is an example of, you know, rehabilitating earlier Makoros. Again, he takes the ones that other people don't. He takes the ones that's from Mila and Avoda, because his focus is on the Hutra, which he's able to derive from that. Yeah.
Also, well, 2 points. The first one is just a small hara that these Kavachomers seem to be a lot easier to rehabilitate, since, you know, you could say that all of those Makoros which Darshan Pesukim were trying to find a Makor for the din of Pikuach Nefesh. And once we find another pasuk which, you know, trumps that, we then reinterpret those pasuk and talking about other things. But Kavachomers never really go away.
Okay.
So it would be a lot easier to rehabilitate, you know, the Kavachomers than the other ones.
Okay.
But also, according to the Tashbeit, as we said, that the Tashbeit, you know, thinks the only reason why all those early refers were rejected was because they couldn't show the full scope of the din. Though, according to what he says, even Shmuel's record can't show the full scope of the din, because from Shmuel's record we don't see that it's such a thing. So Rava says, you know, Shmuel is better than all of them because Shmuel shows that it's even Suffolk. But then I could respond to Rava, well, what do you, but, you know, the Kabbalah Gomer is better than all of them because the Kabbalah Gomer shows that it's Sutra. So it's a little bit weird.
Well, you know, in all fairness, there's a Mishnah which says Suffolk. See, the Makor has to account for that. You don't have to account for Hutra. There's no discussion. You know, you don't know that. So if you're, you know, the Gemara is saying we need a makor which is going to account for the dinim which we know. The dinim which we know is that Safek Pikuach Nefesh.
That also wasn't necessarily the question at hand when this question was addressed to these Tanaim.
So I think somebody just asked, you know, koach nefesh.
Yeah, but no, but it's a loaded statement. If you know the lingo, the hetter be koach nefesh is a complete suffix.
Okay, but the mice at the end of the day, there are two makoros. The makor b'chai lehem, which shows suffix koach nefesh, is the core of the kal v'chomer, which shows kutra, and then these tanaim decided to, you know, when asked the question, Tanaim decided to say one of them, and then all of a sudden, Rav is getting on their case and saying, you know, oh, that's the wrong makor, you should have used Shmuel's makor.
So okay. When did you go?
Shows a different point, and you know, doesn't show a different point.
Okay, it's 9:40, so we're going to stop now. But just in short, the next time we meet on Thursday night, we're going to move on to the many Mefarshim who basically cite the makor of, you know, Chalel Shabbos Achas Kedesh Yishmer Shabbos Harbei, even the Moskana. We're going to try to figure out what's the nature of the Hetzot Pikuach Nefesh according to that makor, and also how do you learn that makor? And how can you understand that makor is standing lamaskana in light of the Pashup Shah and the Gemara, which seems to reject it? So I'll take any questions now, but we'll allow guys to go to Musar. Yeah, Yuda?